This is the Great Destinations Radio Show. GreatDestinationsRadioShow.com.
We show New Zealand off through your taste buds. So we do food and beer tours that are either half day or full day. And predominantly in Auckland, we take people on walking trips around the city centre or over into the suburbs. Or we do a driven tour, which is the taste bud tour, and we take people out for about 4 hours and go behind the scenes at the fish market and go to farmers markets, eat chocolate, drink coffee, the whole shebang. So it's a really neat way of seeing the city.
Now, for Brits who've not been here, maybe if they're of a certain age, their only, I suppose, connection with food from New Zealand would be the Galloping Gourmet. That's going back a bit on TV.
That's going back a lot, right?
Yeah, I'm showing my age, yeah. Or maybe the Slam and the Lamb TV adverts used to get on years ago. So how much of a foodie destination is it?
Well, I'm 100% biased with this, but I think it's a fantastic foodie destination. Yes, it is a city, well, it's a country that's exported a huge amount of produce over the years. I think from growing up in the UK, my biggest awareness of New Zealand food was probably Anchor Butter. But from what's available now, it's an incredibly multicultural city and multicultural country. So for food lovers, it's incredible that we have so much really good fresh produce on tap and available for everybody to try. Plus, you've got the real Pacific Rim fusion cuisine going on that Peter Gordon was the real king of starting, but now it's nationwide. So it's awesome to be able to show it off.
Really, so socially, is it very much a kind of a restaurant and cafe culture here? Because you don't generally find pubs like we would at the end of every sort of street corner in Britain, do you?
No, and I miss that. I miss my local. No, it's very much more bar orientated. The cafe culture, I mean, we are big coffee drinkers, and that's one thing that's very unknown, is just how good the quality of New Zealand coffee is. It's not grown here, it's all imported. But it started with the Italians post-war and their love of coffee and not being able to find it. So, and it's filtered through generations, where you now see teens going out for coffee in the evenings rather than going to the pubs. And that's cool. We're getting a lot more of the Asian tea bars as well, so bubble tea bars coming in. And it is a big indoor-outdoor living, so there's lots of going out for coffee, being outside, having barbecues, walking around towns. It's just a nice vibe, really, I think.
Because the coffee thing's really big in Auckland, isn't it?
Yeah.
It prides itself on its coffee. There's even, and this is spread throughout New Zealand, a kind of a coffee lingo that you wouldn't recognise if you looked at a menu if you're in Britain.
Oh, totally. And to the degree that Starbucks has now stolen that with putting their flat white on the menu. And everybody has specific coffees that they like. They have specific roasters that they like. And now we're seeing a lot of the Kiwi roasters over in London, and especially going up through Asia as well. So my particular favourite coffee roasters are based in the city centre. One's been going nearly 30 years. He's roasted the same blend of Kenyan, Colombian and Papua New Guinean beans. I would never have thought I'd become a coffee bean snob and a connoisseur, but I have over the years. So wouldn't have got that in the UK.
Is it a country full of food that you'd expect to have if you were in Britain, a Waitrose shopper?
Oh, good question.
Because that seems to be, when you go in a lot of the some of the supermarkets and some of the cafes, it seems to be that Marks and Sparks or Waitrose type food that's on offer, rather than your more Greggs type food.
Oh, totally. But then you've got to look at it from the other side of that, is that the New Zealand bakeries are massive, and every township you go through, there'll be one, if not two, if not three bakeries with hot meat pies and sausage rolls. So that's the Greggs concept coming in, totally. But I think from day-to-day food, Kiwis eat incredibly well. And it's not because they necessarily spend hours putting it all together, it's just the produce that we've got as well. So, being a bit of a Waitrose fanatic, I suppose. It's the social metropolis of Saffron Walton, for sure.
You see lots of things on menus which are, items that you'd recognise from home. Fish and chips, for instance, and it's not like an American equivalent where you get some kind of French fries, it's fish and chips. So how similar is food to Britain?
Oh, very, because it's migrant. The Brits were here from as far back as, Auckland in 1840. So a lot of that has come over from the UK. Roasts are still massive. Roasts are massive. It's very much the Sunday. And from the farming communities, you throw a lump of meat in the oven and that's your roast dinner. So from that point of view, it's nice having that. But then you mix that with the combination of the Asian influences as well and the Asian nationalities that are here, lots of South Africans as well. So it really is a complete combo. We have now, I think they opened about 10 years ago, an English store. And the joy of being able to get Twiglets and Watsits and mini cheddars was almost embarrassing, but we were all queuing up for them. So there's always the home comforts. You can't get a decent pork pie in this country. There was a family in Christchurch producing them, but it's almost impossible to get a decent one now. We're slowly getting some of the UK cheeses in, which is great. Some of the Neil's Yard dairy cheeses are here, and Stitchelton and things. But our cheese in New Zealand is just phenomenal. So yeah, it's very much English influence, very much British influence. But as I said, it's a mixture of everybody else that's here too, so probably the best of it all.
I hear that bacon's good. It's not like American bacon, but sausages are a bit strange to a British palate.
You see, you need to know where to go. And it did. A lot of the sausages are pre-cooked and they're full of grain, so yeah, they're, to be honest, brutally horrible. But there are more and more Europeans over here making great sausages. So just close to where we are here in Takapuna, there is a German butcher who's based about 7 km up the road. He does absolutely fantastic sausages. And the more and more people are concerned about what the quality of the meat is that they're eating. There's a couple of French guys who've got companies in the city who are doing the most amazing charcuterie, a couple of Italian families. So if you're looking for a good bog standard pork banger in New Zealand, then I would certainly suggest going to see Manda Hellier at Farmgate Produce at Parnell Farmers Market. She has got the best sausages in the country. And she's got about 200 acres where her pigs run wild up in the north of the North Island. So you need to know where to go.
You touched on some of those food issues that we've had in Europe with certain meats being passed off as a type of meat when they weren't. Horse appeared in certain meats. Have you had any issues like that in New Zealand, or are things a lot more transparent and people more concerned about the provenance of food?
We did have a couple of issues a long time ago, but that was a specific area. I think genuinely the provenance of food is much more important. But in saying that, you know, the UK has turned around dramatically in what people are buying and what they're, where they're sourcing their food from. We've got a freezer full of beef because we did home kill this year. So we had a friend with a farm basically raised beef for us, and we've got a freezer full of beef. We know exactly what went into that that beast, and we're enjoying it. But I think, yeah, that there are, it's much easier to be closer to the source of the ingredients here than it is necessarily being in Europe.
Now, we're in a suburb called Takapuna, very nice suburb. People in Britain, again, might be surprised that we're talking about food tour. One of the ones you operate is around the suburb. I suppose the assumption with a lot of people in Europe would be that all the activity, restaurants, food and the like, would be in the city centre. Is that the case here?
No. I mean, Auckland City has got great restaurants and great cuisine, but it really is spread out into the suburbs now. Takapuna, 2 years ago, I could never have run a tour here. It would have been a complete failure. But there has been a really powerful concentration by the Business Association and by other members of the business world here to draw really good restaurants and cafes to make it a destination to come. You know, 150 metres behind us, we've got one of the most beautiful beaches in the city. And to be able to come over here and have a swim during the day and go and get some, you know, get some lunch or get some dinner is absolutely fabulous. But it's still, it's not touristy. It's not a tourist destination. We're just saying, come and see suburban life. Come and see the coffee shops. Come and see the Chocolate Drop Cafe. Come and see some of the purveyors of great produce here. And it's quite historic. There's a beautiful lake here up at about a kilometre and a half away from where we are. That lake is the largest freshwater lake close enough to the Pacific. It's 170 metres between the Pacific Ocean and the lake. So it's a volcano. It's a great historical space to show people. And so we just like getting people out. And foodies travel to see different things. They're not always wanting to see the same thing in city centres. And let's face it, you can see a lot of the same things in city centres globally.
So tell me about your Takapuna food tour. Firstly, it's about 15 minutes from in a car from the centre of the city, yep. Centre of Auckland, over the bridge, maybe quicker at other times. Where do you take people?
So we start with a cafe called the Chocolate Drop, which is actually owned by a Brit. They make all their chocolate over the other side of the North Shore. And it's just beautiful chocolate, so it's always nice to start with some caffeine and some chocolate. We go to a little shop that only sells Auckland produce. So she has sourced locally made Auckland jams, chutneys, smoked salmon, cheeses that are being produced here. And so it's brilliant for people who are only going to get maybe a day and a half in Auckland to actually go and have a whole store of Auckland artisan products. They get to taste till their heart's content. We go over to the lake. Takapuna here's got three theatres. So we've got a little amphitheatre, which is brilliant. They do, the Shakespeare Company here does some very full-on productions of Shakespeare. The pump house was the original water pumping station built in 1905, so it's now a little community theatre. And then we walk around the lake to the Bruce Mason Theatre and down to another cafe, which is right on the beach. And try some of their award-winning ice cream. We go to an award-winning pizza restaurant started by a guy from Essex, who would have guessed. We go to a little place called the Burger Batch, where two guys from the bottom of the South Island came all the way up to Auckland to start their burger company. We try some lamb, and then we finish off at Madam Wu, which is a Josh Emmett restaurant. Josh worked with Gordon Ramsay and was one of the New Zealand MasterChef judges. And his restaurant, Madam Wu, is a Chinese-Malaysian fusion. So a real combo, which is what Takapuna's got, just a real mixture of flavours, cuisines, and places to go and explore.
And all of that in one suburb?
All of that in one suburb, yeah. It's a good three-hour potter around looking at everything and enjoying it. There's been lots of change to the suburb in the last 18 months. Where we're sitting at the moment used to be a surfboard shop. And they sort of gutted it out, repurposed it, built this laneway through it, and as you can see, it's, you know, it's really popular for a Tuesday lunchtime. It's quite bustly.
It's lovely, isn't it? I mean, we've got some semi-open cafe areas and restaurants off the main thoroughfare. There's seating outside, or you can go inside the restaurants. There's a whole variety of different looking restaurants and different types of food as well.
Yep, and that alleyway dining experience is certainly something that's been picked up around the city. Melbourne, of course, has the most beautiful arcades and alleyways, and a certain amount of that's been bought over here in ideas, and that you see a lot of it in the city too. So it's nice, especially in the city centre, to get a combination of the Victorian arcades into brand new repurposed insides of old buildings. But this has been great for Takapuna, and it's neat. It's nice to be outside. It's grey and gloomy today, but it's, you know, we're still outside and covered, so it's lovely.
So you have an item at each of the places you visit on the tour?
Yeah, and when we walk down to the lake, we will have some seasonal fruits or some cheeses or some olive oil. Actually, Lake Papuki was where the first strawberries were grown in New Zealand. So in the summer, it's perfect. We take a big, you know, punnet of strawberries down there and sit by the lake, get attacked by ducks, and, you know, enjoy the most beautiful strawberries we can. But each place we go to, we have a little bit of something, and send people back to the city knowing more about a suburb that they might never have come to if we hadn't been here.
And how many people do you have on each tour, roughly?
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's the minimum is 2 for Takapuna. We can go up to, we've done one for 20, but we'll certainly max out at 10 or 12, depending on, you know, the group's abilities, so to speak. And we don't like it to be too huge. You know, our tours are... For me, it's about sending people away with a real braggability factor. You know, I want them to go away and say, oh my God, you're not going to believe what I ate in Auckland. This is the most amazing thing. And so you can't do that with lots of people following you behind. It needs to be very special and personalised.
So that's Takapuna. What other tours do you operate?
So we do Queen Street, which is the main thoroughfare through the city. And we start at the top and walk down in and out of some of those alleyways. Going to a lot of the places that are probably well known to Auckland city livers, city dwellers, but wouldn't necessarily be discovered by people just visiting. That one's really about the heart of the city. It's about what Auckland city is through migrants, through culture, through architecture, and of course through the food. So it's a 3-hour morning tour. We also do an afternoon tour in the city as well. Which is perfect for people arriving on those really early morning American flights who want something to do to keep them awake. And that includes going to one of the oldest pubs, and we go into one of the theatres, we eat ice cream. You know, it's, again, storytelling. Our most popular tour is the Taste Bud Tour, which is a driven tour. And that's 4 hours. That's going to farmers markets, going to producers. We go to the shop where the chefs go shopping and try lots of different artisan products. We do a New Zealand cheese tasting. that's a cool tour. That's, you know, it's driven, so you're seeing a lot more. And when people come into Auckland, they're not necessarily staying here for, you know, 5-6 days. They're coming in having maybe 24, 48 hours and then heading off to see the rest of this amazing country.
Do you have other tours?
We do beer tours, which are brilliant. We do a downtown beer tour, which visits three very different establishments. And again, it's the story of the history of beer in New Zealand, of the hops in New Zealand, because New Zealand hops are world famous. And the craft beer industry here is having a massive resurgence, which is brilliant. We've got some incredible talent, some young talent, some old talent, some brilliant collabs going on between some North American brewers and some New Zealand brewers. And so it's a fun, bustly tour to be involved with, and different tours are coming on board. We do a lot in the private tour space, so agents will ring us or people will approach us directly and say they're coming into Auckland, they want to see XYZ, we put it together. We can fly them around in helicopters or seaplanes, or take them out in the car.
You do much of that, do you?
We've done our fair share of it. I'm incredibly lucky. We had a guy who proposed, he came over from Australia and he said, can you do something really special? So we flew him up to a beach on a seaplane with his now wife. And up at the beach there was barbecue set up and we had oysters and champagne, and he proposed and they went and had a little swim and had some chocolates, and then we came back again. And it was, he wanted the very best food and New Zealand wine for her, because she was a New Zealand wine fan. We all had tears in our eyes. It was fantastic. We do some really cool stuff, and I think food always makes the best memories. So you can forget a view, but you never forget a taste. So that's really special. The private stuff's lovely. And then for those who are really brave, we do a 6 a.m. tour at the fish market. So we go and see the auction. We go and talk to the fishermen and talk to the auctioneer and have a look at all the different species of fish. And it's not for the faint-hearted, but it's a great tour to see Auckland first thing in the morning.
Do people come to Auckland and New Zealand just for the food?
Not yet, but they will do if I have my way. It's certainly becoming more of a destination for food. And in a recent tourism conference I was at, more and more interest from agents overseas on putting packages together focused around food and beverage and food and beer, food and wine. Because we're exporting, you know, masses overseas. Wine is huge into the United States, huge into Europe. And things like Manuka honey, people are fascinated by, you know, what Manuka honey can do for them. So from that point of view, yeah, I think it's going to be definitely a space to watch in the next couple of years, because we've got it all. It's just waiting for people to come and find it.
And Manuka, actually, a lot of people I know at home in Britain are very interested in it. It's exorbitant in terms of cost in Britain. It's not so expensive here.
No.
And it's also more widely available, isn't it, obviously?
Yeah, and if you can get some proper Manuka honey from reputable people who are producing, you know, who've got hives in the right areas and they're not stressing their bee colonies out, then you're going to have, you know, the perfect medicine in a jar. It's great products. As with every industry, when something's as popular as that, it's I think to actually be classed as Manuka honey, it only has to be 51% Manuka honey. So yes, you do pay a premium, but we work with some great honey producers over here, all who've had different careers beforehand, and you know, they've ended up in the bee world, in the honey world, and are doing it properly and doing it organically and doing it nicely without lots of mass movement of their hives and colonies to, you know, that causes destruction in the long run.
So how would you describe the Auckland food offer then, in a sort of sentence?
Ooh, I wish you'd let me practice that one. You can do, eat, try and see every different food here. You can eat very low cost and have some amazing food. You can have some great fine dining. It's not Michelin starred. So you're never going to find a Michelin star in Auckland at the moment, because that's just the way it works.
But does that matter?
No, God, no. Absolutely not. You're going to have some of the freshest, most local produce that you might get anywhere else in the world. So that's, for me, really exciting.
And you've obviously stayed here so for 13 years. So what was your reason? Is it primarily food?
Well, I ran out of money. I couldn't get home. it was food. And it was really because I fell in love with what was happening around the city, with what people were producing. I've learnt all of my Southeast Asian cuisine here. I've had experiences here with food that I would thought I would have had to travel to, you know, distant shores to experience, and it's all here. I met amazing people through food, and we've got some incredible food writers, we've got some incredible chefs, and it's nice seeing it flourish, and it's nice being part of it flourishing.
Was your background food?
Yeah, I did hospitality and tourism in the UK, and then I worked for what is now Hotel Chocolat, but I spent nearly 3 years with them working in hotels and airlines and travelling around London and around the UK with chocolates attached to my hips, and literally and metaphorically. And that was, you know, a great way of learning the tourism industry. But I'd worked in pubs and done private catering, and you know, food was something that, you know, as a family, we always had that roast on a Sunday. It didn't really matter what we were all doing. It was roast on a Sunday. I grumbled at my mother for years that I had to do the washing up, but it's what her mother had made her do, and it's what I make my stepdaughter do, and it's that generational thing that we sort of passed down. So I think I've grown up with being very fortunate to have a father who dug out the best restaurants for us to go and explore, and we travelled and wasn't afraid to, you know, to don an apron and cook at weekends. So it's certainly always been part of my life.
And how can people book your tours and look you up on the internet?
Well, the company's called The Big Foodie, and it's spelt with a Y. I don't know why, but I just did it with a Y. So it's thebigfoodie.com. And if you Google food tours in Auckland, we certainly come up along the top.
Like that? Like us at facebook.com/greatdestinationsradioshow.